doing great work in the region, believing that every time we gather, miracles are taking place. And you know, you could say, what's the key to that? I don't know. God's just good to us right now. We should thank Him. Amen. You should really thank Him. I mean, God, thank you. Listen, people are healed of cancer. Like, people are healed of strokes. I have my own son healed of a stroke. Okay, amen. A 19-year-old boy has a stroke. No, come on. Gets up, out, walks out the hospital moments after we pray. Walks out the hospital. You don't have to be excited. I'll tell you what. He was at my house this weekend, and I was like, look at him. He's right there. It was awesome. It was awesome. Listen, my boy, he was over there, you know, and he's got some, keep praying. He's got a little bit of, you know, weakness, but he was writing his name and everything. He was writing his name. They say, you'll never do that. He's set to return and play football in 6 months. For the University of something out there in Phoenix, right? Yeah. God's good. Amen. So thank you for giving. What you're sowing into is just the seedbed of revival in this region. It's just the grassroots level of something miraculous taking place in the region. So bless you as you give. Thank you. You can go ahead and pass those. Tonight we have we have a soaking service tonight. And so we pray that you would all come back and visit us for that, be a part of that. This is a time where we come together and we just check heaven out. You know, you ever want to see what heaven looks like? One time I fell into a vision and I saw stuff I couldn't even describe to you. I saw colors I have no name for. I saw shapes. That's how I know. I saw stuff that I'm like, I've never seen that before. There's something there, you know. And so if you want to see and taste heaven, come back tonight. Let's do it together. We'll have an experience of heaven together in as a corporate gathering at 7 o'clock. It's going to be amazing. And then at 2:30 today, room 1, there's a fundraiser for our sister. Where's she at? There she is. Just grab a mic and tell us a little bit about it real quick. Somebody, there you go. Catherine is going to Africa again. She spends a lot of time there. Tell us a little bit about it so the people can be a part of it.
Am I on now?
There you are. Now you are.
I just think it's such a privilege to be able to go and to minister to people who've never heard the gospel. Amen? And a couple of years ago, I was there in Liberia, and Reinhard Bonnke was in the, he'd been in the capital, and 260,000 people had come to the crusade, and it was just awesome and powerful. And I felt a little discouraged. I was up in the boondocks at the time. I was discouraged for about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
And then the Lord said, nobody up there, 8-hour Jeep drive, has ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke. There's no way they could have got down there. That visit, 3,000 souls raised their hands to receive Christ. It is so funny because they live in mud huts. They grow their own rice and they fish for their own fish in the rivers. And they cook on flame on the ground, and they talk on cell phones. I was so amused. But anyway, so glory to God. I just praise Him for the opportunity. And I was just reading in Scripture how we're all partakers. We're all, I've heard it said, some go, some give, some send. Well, I praise God that when I can send, I send, and when I can go, I go. And I'm believing God that we've got a church full of people who you do go. Every one of you is in ministry. Every one of you, you go to one place or another, even if it's ministering to your children, to your mothers and fathers. But we just ask you to bless this ministry and send us as far as we can go. I'll be going for a month. I'll be taking the Jesus movie equipment. We will be going from town to town. towns that have never heard the gospel. They are idol worshiping, or they're Muslim towns. There's been some violence toward the few Christians who are there in some of the towns. So I would appreciate your intercession. And we are serving Chipotles and pizza and salad and punch and desserts and all kinds of stuff back there in room one. We have a slideshow of our last trip. So please come. You're all welcome and support us. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Everybody, watch this video. Cue the video. Video. That video is awesome. Hey, I'm gonna give you like 10 more seconds. But you better tell me, because I'm gonna go. Oh, glory. Which Matthew 4, verse 1. I gave you the entrance there. You want me to stop? Matthew 4, verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. The entrance of your word gives light. The entrance of your word pierces darkness. It gives light. We pray, Lord, that the preaching and teaching of the word today would not be with man's intelligence or the eloquence of his speech, but rather it would be a demonstration of power. Not by might, not by strength, not by the strength of man, not by the might of man, not by the intelligence of man, but by your Spirit. We pray that you would hide us all in the cleft of the rock, which is Christ Jesus, as your glory passes by. As your glory passes by, you want to reveal glory today, your goodness revealed today in Jesus' name. Your miraculous glory revealed today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was headed into the wilderness. He was baptized, declared the Son of God, in whom the Father was well pleased, and he heads straight for the wilderness. And what he does there is verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Wait a minute. Jesus here goes into the wilderness. Anybody ever been into the wilderness? Anybody in the wilderness? The wilderness can be scary. And what's, you know, sometimes I spend a lot of times in the woods at different times, but sometimes when I go into the woods at night, it gets, you know, because it gets dark, and sometimes I got to get in there at night. And it you know, it's really scary at night. Because there's stuff in there that can see you, and you can't see it. that's not a comforting feeling. You're just walking into the woods, can't see nothing. You really, you know, you got a flashlight. You can see maybe a little bit in front of you. And everything else there is aware of you, but you're not aware of it. That's how it's like going into the wilderness at times. You walk into something, you feel like everybody, you know, everything around you is attacking you. Or you feel like is about to. Because the wilderness is a frightening place. And Jesus, look, Jesus goes into the wilderness. He's into a place of that becomes scary. It's you know, it's scary in the wilderness. And what he does to combat that fear is he doesn't eat or drink. Now, lest you say, I just want to put some things out here. There was this time when I was remodeling the basement not long ago. Now, when I say that not long ago, I'll need you to understand, when preachers say not long ago, that can either be like 3 days ago, 7 years ago, 30 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, so when we make references that way, don't take them literally. It's something that our minds are referencing that we're using for an illustration, lest you take them, you know, to mean exactly what we say. So the other day, we were down in the basement and we were doing a little remodeling. My son had outgrew the upstairs. Anybody have any sons that outgrow the space, the common space? He's huge. And he outgrew the common space, and we needed to create new space. And so what we did was we went downstairs and we renovated this beautiful new living space. And then, but while we were doing it, we didn't realize that while we were doing our renovation, when we were creating this new thing, it was attached to an old thing. Now, we came down and we just started, you know, cutting this and knocking that down and putting walls up and reconnecting here and plugging there. And before you knew it, we had ran some electricity and unknowingly disconnected the old part of the house from the new part of the house. Now, just the other day, literally about 4 days ago, my son was coming home from college with four fellas with him, and they were going to camp out in the basement. So I wanted to get the old part of the basement set up so that way when they went in there, they could sleep there, they could, you know, charge, they could find power that works there. So I went down and I started plugging in things and heaters And then what I found was that when I went into the old part, that there was no power. As I plugged in, there was no power in the old part that worked. And so I began to search all throughout the old part of the basement for power that worked. And I couldn't find any. Then it dawned on me, in my zeal to build this new thing, in my zeal to build and construct this beautiful living place, I abandoned the old power source. I disconnected the new from the old. But it was the old that initially provided the power to get me plugged in to build the new. Now, I'm going to say this. Don't throw anything at me. Could it be that our word of faith revelation has disconnected us from the revelation of deep dependence upon the Father? Could it be that we were so zealous to receive new revelation that we forsook that which got us to this place? Because I'm asked this question all the time. And listen, when you ask it, I feel the indictment of it, but I want you to feel it back. I want you to sense the responsibility of this search for power that works with me. They say, Troy, where's the power in the church? Where's this greater works that Jesus was talking about? Where is this stuff where he said, this kind cometh out by nothing but prayer and fast? Where's the stuff that makes that little boy get up, be healed, and walk away? Where's the power that works? Now, I feel the indictment when that question is asked of me, because I'm looking and I need desperately power that works. I mean, I'm plugging my plug into anything that I think looks even close to like Jesus. So I'm like, there got to be some power there. I'm plugging in. Nope, no power there. We're going to go look over here. Is any? But in, you see, could it be? Now, lest you think I'm suggesting this is a work of the flesh and not by faith, I just want to remind you that it was our Lord and Savior who went into the wilderness, who knew what was coming upon him, who knew the temptation that was about to befall him. It was our Lord who went into the wilderness and said, I'm going to fast. So, lest you think, oh, Troy, you're just trying to make us produce something by the work of our own hands. No, no, no. I just want you to be reminded of the fact that Jesus knew what was about to befall him. And what he did was, What Jesus did was he stepped back, went into the wilderness, and just said, I need some power that works, Father. And I know what's about to happen. And so I need power that works. So I've got to find the place where power works. And I found no power out there. Jesus said, there's no power. When he was baptized, declared to be the Son of God, got up out of there, went straight to the woods and in the dark and said, I'm not eating nothing. I'm not dependent on nothing but you. I'm going to find power. Boom, that works. So just a little bit. And so, Ephesians 3:20 says this. Love this. Now to him who is able to do. Watch this. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to power that works in us. In us, there's some power that works in us. We've just got to find the source of the power that gets deposited within us. We've got to find this source. But before we do, let's look at these temptations that befell Jesus. Let's look at them quickly. Let's look at them. It says that he was tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days, he connected to something powerful in that 40 days. The tempter came to him and he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the first temptation that will befall us, that will try to get us to rob us of our power, is this. He will try to give us to live by natural means alone. Know this for certain. The moment you become aware of your sonship, your daughtership in the kingdom, is the moment that he, the enemy, will try to get you to live on man's bread rather than God's breath. As soon as you become aware, as soon as you're like, I am a son, he will challenge you to live by man's bread rather than God's breath. Can you see him telling Jesus, Jesus, I know you're hungry, so look, I'm going to give you some bread. Turn them rocks into bread. Make your life, Jesus, make your life about the meagerly means of bread. Make your life, Jesus, what I want you to do is, and Jesus looked back at him and said, listen, there's no power. Look, watch this. What Jesus said, there's no power in man's bread. In essence, Jesus said, there is no power to be found in this earth. There's no power in man's bread. You got to be kidding me. Do you think I'm going to take God's, you think I'm going to take substitute God's breath for man's bread? Right? And so Jesus said, no, there's no, that power doesn't work. That power will fail. That power, man's bread will fail. Man's provision will fail. Man's wisdom will fail. Man's medicine, fail. Man's whatever. Man's strength will fail. Jesus said, there's no power there. You've got to be kidding me. I am in the fight of your life. And I've got to be connected to power that works. I need power that when I plug it in, I can turn it on. Plug in, turn on. That's the kind of power that works. Secondly, the devil said this. He said, then the devil took him up into a holy city. And then he got religious. Then the devil got religious. Took him up into a holy city, right? Set him up on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What Satan was trying to do there was manipulate the Father's providence. He was saying, Jesus, listen, make a spectacle of yourself. Come on, live selfishly. Make this thing all about you, Jesus. And what the enemy will do for us, he'll try to disconnect you from your power. He'll say, look, Just make it about you. Make everything that happens all about you. Throw yourself down from the religious place. Make everybody see. Make the light shine on you. Make this all about you. Make a spectacle. Manipulate your Father's love. If you love me, God, you'll give me this. God, if you really love me, give me a car. If you really love me, give me, I want, name it. God, if you really love me, you wouldn't make me go through this. I would not be in this wilderness, all hungry and bent over, famished. If you really love me, Daddy, give me something to eat. And we'll try to manipulate the Father's love. We'll try to manipulate it. God, give me. God, give it to me. Sound like selfish children. You know, you never hear my kids say this. I promise you, I'll never hear Ashley say this to John. Well, Dad, if you love me, you'd buy me a new Mercedes that's pink. She said, and he said, she better not say that to me. You will never hear a true child say to their father, if you love me, give it to me. Prove you love me. Prove it. You say you love me? Prove it. Prove it. But how many of us get to a point of temptation where we get to that point where it's enough, God. If you really love me, you prove it. If I'm really your child, prove it. We tempt him. We tempt him to reveal his love for us when he already sent his son. If you love me, do it. But you know what the world needs right now? It's a bunch of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. Who will say, listen, you can throw me down there if you want to. Go ahead. I believe that my God will rescue me. It doesn't matter. I believe that my God will rescue me. But even if he doesn't, everything is going to be all right. I still know that he loves me. I still know that he cares for me. I don't... Even if he slay me, yet shall I praise him. I am not moved by this circumstance. It don't matter to me. I know where my power comes from. I am assured of where my help comes from, and it is not from this world. So you go ahead and put any circumstance on me that you want. I will not manipulate my Father's love. Power that works, right? Power. Now that's some power that works. Some power that works is the kind of stuff that says, listen, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Go ahead, sit down and watch me eat my Father's provision. What? My daddy has made a meal for me and he's forced you to watch me eat it. Go ahead, scoot up a chair. Watch this. My daddy loves me. He loves me so much he's making a spectacle of you. Go ahead and sit there. This bread is good. My Jesus is good. He saves me. I got this little saying for my children. I could call my son today and say, Caleb, how much does daddy love you? And he will say these words as a 19-year-old boy. He will say, more than all the tea in China. And then I will say, when does daddy love you? And he will say these words all the time. And then I will say, does daddy love you when you're good? Yes, daddy. Does daddy love you when you're bad? Yes, daddy. Does daddy love you when you fail? Yes, daddy. Does daddy love you when you make... Yes, daddy. Daddy loves me all the time. You know, it's not enough for us. We must know that our love, the Father's love for us is never ending. It's never ending. Yes, daddy, you love me when I'm good. Yes, daddy, you love me when I fail. Yes, daddy, I am so confident and secure that you love me. That's a place of power, real power, real power. You can look the devil in the face. You can look at cancer and go, suck it. I know, that's some X-rated preaching right there. I might get in trouble for that one. Sometimes where I come from reveals itself. Oh, Lord. He said, if he can't get you to manipulate the Father's love, what he'll do is this. He'll do this. He'll say, and the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, even higher than the holy place. Even higher than the holy place, even higher than the religious place. Took him higher than that, high on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, all these I will give to you if you will but fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. If he can't get you those first two ways, he'll get you this way. He'll get you to become a gluttony of glory and power. You want to know the means of a man? Don't take power from him. Don't give him little. Give him much. Give him the keys to the business. Then you'll see what's really in his heart. You'll see if he's a glutton of glory and power. If there's anything that's destroying the kingdom, it's this. Gluttons of glory and power. Competition and strife. Division. Keeping us disconnected because of glory and power, titles, and if I could just get them to think they're somebody, I could steal their power and take their power right from them. What we bow to reveals what we worship. He said, bow to me and I'll give it to you. Bow to me. What we bow to reveals what we worship. What we labor for reveals what we worship. What we give our time to reveals what we worship. What we give our money to reveals what we worship. What we bow to, what we strain ourselves to achieve, really identifies what we worship. You say, I worship the Lord God and God alone. What are you bowing to in your life? What's the enemy convinced you that you've got to have so you spend your energy and your labor bowing towards? That reveals what you worship. How do we overcome this kind of temptation then? How do we get power that works in our life? Where is this power located? Some of you who are electricians know this. There is a place where power is transformed. It's that little gray thing that hangs on the telephone pole about 40 feet up. It's called a transformer. Not Megatron. I could do Megatron. Megatron. That happens when you go there. Power that works. There's a place where power is transformed. Any electricians in the house? Any electricians? Somebody tell me what that does. Yell it out for me. Yeah. So Ohio Energy. What are y'all laughing at? I'm ready to preach. Ohio Energy. I'm a mess. Ohio Energy makes it. They make this. They mass produce power. Now, if all that power was given to you and me, it burn us up. So what they do is, there was a power source that is available to you and I up on that in that place. Up in that transformer, something happens. It takes the greater power, bounces it down, and makes it usable, given to you and I now in what this is. So then it's fed into our houses, and now from the greater power, we are dispensed or incremented power in usable amounts. Right? So now we can plug into here and bang! I got power. Now listen to this. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. This explains why Jesus did not want to hang out with the other people and ran to the wilderness and stopped partaking of what the citizens of the world did. Because he realized he was seated up in another dimension and his power came from there. And here we see that our citizenship comes from heaven. We are not of this world. And we can't say that we Listen, we cannot claim heaven's power and earth's at the same time. One or the other. We are either going to use that outlet. One or the other. We are either going to plug into this source down here or heavenly source up there. And the trick is, how do we get to the place where power is transformed? How do we get up there 40 feet above where power is transformed? Because we don't belong to this earth, we belong to heaven. And as children of heaven, our power, the power that works, the power that worketh in us, is not of this world. From which we also eagerly wait the Savior. There's something hanging out there on that pole. The Lord Jesus Christ, who will do what? Transform. Jesus will transform, meaning Jesus will go to the Father. He will take the power from the Father. He will get the greater power that's needed in the earth. He will get the greater power in this place of that where we're transformed. And he's going to then knock it down. When we need it, we can say, I need some power that works. Transform our lowly body, this worldly body, so that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So that it will operate according to its function. But we've got to get to a place where we're transformed. Where's that place? Oh, just tell me. If it's 40 feet up, I got a tree climber at home. I will climb that joker. Tell me how to get to the place where greater power is given to me that will, listen, that will conform me to his glorious body. I need to be conformed to his glory. I need this earthly stuff to do what it's supposed to do. It's not acting right sometimes. Everybody say it don't act right sometimes. Sometimes it has pain. Sometimes you go to the doctor and they try to lie to you and tell you stuff. And you're like, listen, that is this earthly body. Put the scripture back up. That is the earthly body. I have gotten to a place where I'm in Jesus and bang, that happens. I have a glory. My body receives glory in incremental power deliveries when I need it. When I need it, he gives it to me. Because if I can get to the place of where transform, the power transfer place, I just got to get to the power transfer place. But here's what we do. Here's how foolish we look. Where we at? Here's how foolish we look. You got to put it up here for me because everybody needs to see it. Somebody help them. You guys grab that in. I'll grab this in. And hand me the handle. You grab that. Let me tell you what we look like. We look so foolish. We said, look, we found a shortcut. I found a shortcut. You know what? I do not need to find the power from heaven. No, I can generate my own power. I'll generate my own power. Thank you very much. All of that finding the place of his power. All of that going into the wilderness where it's scary. All of that taking my time. And you want me not to eat? I mean, I didn't get this big looking at food. I mean, you want me... You want me not to eat? That don't make no sense. Thank you very much. I found an alternative source of power that I can plug into. So I'll just plug in there. Boom. I'm good. Look, I just, you know what I mean? I'll just put this on here. And I'm good. I'll just plug that in there. And everything's good. I got power. We got a problem, though. we got a problem. Because the electricians would tell you again that this right here, that's very unreliable. And what it produces, and I'll never forget when he told, when my electrician told me this, my spirit went, it started locking into what he was saying. He said, Troy, don't, my power went out, my house, trees, and all the power went out. So I had to run my house on a generator. And what a generator does is you put some gasoline in it, you fire it up, and it generates power. Now, what'll happen is, he says to me, he's, look, Troy, be careful. Running your house on that generator. I said, why? It's power. It's good, right? He said, well, first of all, it doesn't generate enough power for what you need. Go ahead. Just chew on it. See, lots of times we go through life thinking, I'm good. I got this, God. No, thank you. I got this one. I got this one. I can do this in my own strength. Thank you very much. And so then we get into the middle of a fight that we start, our lizard, our alligator mouth starts writing checks. Our lizard tail can't cash. Remember that story where he said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but I don't know you. How many know his source of power was not sufficient for what he was drawing? And he got whooped. He ran out of there with no clothes on, beat up. Ran out of there. Because that thing, well, you will run into a situation. Eventually, you go running in the strength of man long enough, and you will run into something that will draw more energy and power from you than yourself is generating. That's why when we sing songs, we can't sing it in our own power. That's why when we preach sermons, we can't preach them in our own power. That's why when we go to the doctor, we don't go in our own power. We need power that works. He said, this thing here is going to create dirty power. I thought that was funny. Dirty power, you say. What does that look like? It's dirty power, Troy. Don't use it. It'll mess up your TV. It'll mess up what you see. It'll mess it up. Don't do that, because the power fluctuates. As the demand draws from it, the power fluctuates. You'll think you think you can handle it, but you'll get in the middle of it, and it'll just go out. How many of us walking around with generators in the kingdom? I got this one, God. I got this one. I can cast this devil out. I can cast this devil out. Oh, I got this one, God. I got this one. I got this one. I got enough money in the bank to cover this one. All these people are hungry. I can write a check for this one. Don't worry, God. I got this one. But when you're up on the hills of Haiti and you're all out of bread and you need some power that works, man's money done failed you. Man's strength has ran out. The power source is gone. Ran out of gas. Only God can multiply bread. Only God can do that. Only God can raise the dead. Only God can do that. Power that works. How do we get power that works? And then we come and we're like, oh, you know what? I'm a little low on gas today, preacher. I'm going to need you to preach really good. Give me some more power. I'm low on power today, but I'll catch up with you next week, okay? We're walking around, empty tanks. Listen, Marla, I'm going to need you to play real anointed because I need some more power. I'm going to need you to sing real good because I'm about beat. I'm about done. I mean, I'm running on very little, you know, fuel here. And we walk around with self-generated power. Self-generated power. It says it has a form of godliness. We try to hide them. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Just look at me. You have a form of godliness. Don't look at that. Don't look. Never mind that. That's me, but don't pay attention to me. Just ignore that. Pay attention to me, because I got a form of godliness. But I deny this power, so I got to bring my own. I deny his power, I got to bring my own. Because his power cost me a little bit. You can go to heaven. Hey, heaven's free. Good news. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, heaven is free. It's free. It's the free gift of God. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You could be saved. But power? Jesus said this. He said, this kind over here, it comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. This kind over here cannot be, it will draw more than you will generate. You're going to need a source that is divine. You're going to need to plug yourself into power that works. Generators in the kingdom, living from sermon to sermon. The earth was never meant to be our source. Come on, if you're here today and you're running on your own power, you, as a child of God, you have a source where you can be transformed. You can receive power when you need it. And this power works. And Jesus got to a place, and it was called 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. And it transforms greater power. A reconnection to power that works is what we need. And fasting is that place. You know, doctors talk about the power that miraculously happens when people stop eating. Isn't that something? That there's this power, there's this cleansing effect, a reset button that's genetically placed inside of us. That if we'll just deny ourselves man's bread and live on God's breath, something happens. Healing then comes in the source of his wings. If we'll just disconnect from our self-generated power. If we'll reconnect to the genuine source. So what we need is power that works. And the promise is power. The promise is power. We're like in 25 days, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. In 25 days, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And the promise he gave to you and I is, he said, the same power, listen, the same power that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. Not when you get to glory, but the mortal body, the one you're in, the same power now is available to you and me. But it comes at a cost. It comes at a deep dependence upon the Father. A deep, deep dependence upon the Father. A neglecting of oneself of the bread of this earth for the breath of his presence. Your breath, oh God, has more power than man's bread. Oh, do we really believe that? Do we really believe if we could go to the place where Jesus went, where we will say, oh God, I will be so dependent upon you that I will not move lest you speak. Mark 10:27, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible. With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37, with God nothing shall be impossible. Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Causes the barren even to bear. This kind comes out only by fasting and prayer. This kind. Anybody got this kind in their life? I got some this kind of stuff. I got some this kind of stuff that man don't have medicine for. I got some this kind of stuff in my life. I know some people that need some this kind of power. Some this kind. This kind of power. terminal cancer kind of power. The kind of stuff that makes demands that the earth can't... The kind of stuff that's writing checks that only heaven can cash. This kind of stuff. This kind of stuff. Every one of us got some this kind. Every one of us, everyone in here got some this kind. And if you don't got some this kind, don't worry. Some this kind is on your horizon, and you're going to need some power that works. Four mothers die in a week. Four mothers die in a week. Tori's mom died, and then four others die behind her. Those families need some this kind. Some this kind of power. Listen, fried chicken don't do it. Huh? I don't care how beautiful this earth does not create a ceremony pretty enough to soothe the pain of a dead mother. You need some power. This kind needs some power. Hospital's full of this kind. Come on, I challenge you. I challenge you to unplug. Just pull the plug on the world. Pull it. I dare you. I dare you. Get to the place where power is transformed. It's the place of fasting and prayer. Get to that place. If we'll get to that place, I promise you, there is the code of the miraculous hidden in Scripture that promises us the same results of Jesus. If we'll get to a place where we'll say, "Ah, man, I don't need that no more. I found a source. Ooh, I found a source that works, power that works. I found it. Oh, I'm gonna go ahead and connect the old to the new part of the basement now. I'm gonna tear the walls down. You know, what I'm gonna have to do now is I'm gonna have to tear the walls down in the house, and I'm gonna have to search through my house and find a source. I'm gonna have to find the source where it's been disconnected in my life. I got to knock some stuff down. I got to search. Because the old got to be connected to the new. And once it does, power. Power that works will be released. Please stand your feet with me. Let's close. Altar ministers, if you'll make your way forward. What I'm asking you to do today is turn the power back on in your life. Turn it back on. Turn the power on. We need power. You need power. Reconnect to the source and be transformed today. Power is released to that which is deficient in the place where power is transferred. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you need power, power that works, I believe that the Lord Jesus is present. It is His person. As He hung upon the cross, it is His person that provided the place of transfer of power to you and I. The greater power is available right here as He joins us. His power is available. So right now, you have a need, just lift your hands. Power released. Power released. The miraculous. The miraculous. Power is released. Power to heal. Power to rescue. Power to go where man can't go. Power to go and rescue. This kind of power now available. If you're here today and you don't know the power of Christ, you don't know the power of the cross, it's the power to take a dead life and breathe into it and cause life to live. It's a work of atonement where our sin is paid for, the ache and weight of it now lifted, and we get to receive His life, which is resurrected. It's resurrected, and so those in here who need to be born again. Come on, just lift your eyes to heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for the power to raise me from the dead. I love you and I bless you. I thank you, Jesus. You are so worthy. Thank you for saving the lost. Those watching, listening, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening blind eyes, deaf ears opening. The power of Christ available now to those that believe. If you prayed those prayers, Lord Jesus, if you prayed those prayers, we want to pray for you. We want to agree with you in prayer. You're welcome to sit and worship. But before you run that way, would you allow those that want to receive prayer to come this way? God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week and let him talk through you. God bless you. God bless you as you go. If you need prayer, please come. If you gave your life to Christ, please come. We want to give you some tools for the faith. Amen. God bless you.